Hey, hey, welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. So glad to have you with us today. You can learn more on our website, fairmountfriends.church, or find our church app on Tithely. Let's go.
This morning, Pastor Andrew and I have a fun little treat for you as we are going to be co-bringing this message. This is IYM Sunday. IYM stands for Indiana Yearly Meeting. And a part of what we have that we believe is a blessing is we are blessed to be a part of an organization and of a network of churches that help bring good leadership to our church. Sometimes in churches, you can be a lone ranger and you can be out there doing it alone or on yourself. Sometimes you can also be a lone ranger in your own spiritual faith and trying to do this thing alone. How many of y'all know we're better in a healthy family? And we're better when we have good leadership over our lives. Both hard stops. We're better when we live in healthy families and we have good leadership in our lives. And so we want to talk a little bit about who is IYM, Indiana Yearly Meeting, and who is the people that we're in relationship with and who brings leadership into our lives. Our church is a part of approximately 50 other churches in the Indiana area, and it's a network of friends churches, Quaker churches, the organization that is called Indiana Yearly Meeting. Having authority over not just our lives, but also over our church is a blessing because it provides good counterbalances. It provides good checkpoints for us as well. In Psalm chapter 91, verse 1, it says this: "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Anybody remember whenever you were a kid and you got scared and you were nervous and you ran into your bedroom, jumped on your bed, and pulled the covers up over your head? And as soon as you pull the covers over your head, no longer can the monster underneath your bed get you, because now you've got the covers over your head. There was something in our minds that it thought, man, I'm safe and I'm protected. As soon as these covers come up over the top of me, then I am shielded. Also, there's times maybe whenever you're walking and you're experiencing some rain and some weather and you have an umbrella over your head. As soon as you step out from underneath the covering of that umbrella, what happens? You're starting to get wet. You experience the rain. If you're in a shelter and you step outside of the covering of that roof, you're going to experience the storm. Anybody, whenever you were a kid, you stepped outside of what your parents' leadership asked of you and called for you. You stepped outside of that. And it started out as simple as you showed up to late for curfew. Nobody? And then it started out with, they said, hey, don't hang out with those people. And that's who you were hanging out with as you were late for curfew. And they said, don't do these certain things. And we start experimenting with some of those things. And before you know it, we are off and running doing exactly what we shouldn't be doing and what we've been asked to do, not to do, by our leadership. As soon as we walk outside of the covering of the blessing of the authority that's over our lives, we have entered into risky places where we kind of live exposed. That's the beauty of maybe having good parental counselors. Maybe it's good to have certain authorities in your life. Perhaps it's a boss or a leader. Maybe it's parents, whatever those leadership pieces are. And then when we come to the Lord, it says that we're blessed when we can live in the secret place and we're hidden, we're protected under the shadow of the Almighty. We live undercover. We're undercover when we're saved. What do we do when we have a bad agree with? An idiot. He didn't have a clue. Why'd they make this guy this person? And I want to share with you two good leadership and how the order, when it's pride of me talking about the old testament, Saul is buck that was life, who had a call of God upon his life, who was anointed to become king early on, and yet didn't get the promotion from his GM. The GM put him on a bad work schedule. The GM made him work thirds. The GM didn't give him enough hours. Whatever it is, looking at the boss, thinking, this guy's ripping me off. And here we see David. He's anointed to become king, yet he has to serve underneath a leader that's not really honoring the Lord and raising up leaders underneath him. There comes a time whenever King Saul gets so mad about David, where David is over hanging out with King Saul's son, who was Jonathan, that they're hanging out together, that King Saul gets so fired up, and he's at the dinner table, and he throws a spear at David trying to kill him. Anybody ever had your boss throw a spear at you? Or you thought you were... or you thought that you were just hanging out with your friend, and the dad like comes after you, takes it out on you. And here is King David, and he heads for the hills. Literally, he runs for his life, and he sneaks into the cave of Adullam, and he's hiding out. And there's 300 ragtag men that just rally themselves around King David. One day, while King Saul is out marching, he's looking for King David, or shepherd boy David at the time. He's walking past, and the Bible is so good, man. The Bible actually explains why King Saul peeled off the line of the rest of the troops. It says because King Saul had to go relieve himself. That's funny that they wanted to say that for all of human history, he had to go to the bathroom at this particular time. And so he goes into this cave to have some privacy by himself. It's the exact cave that David is hiding out in. And David's men are elbowing him like, bro, God has delivered him into your hands today. Wipe him out. Take the sword to his throat. It's over. And then we all make you king. This is God has handed the leader in your hands. Let's wipe him out. And David said this, who am I to lay a hand on God's anointed? If God has put him in charge as the king, who am I to take him out? God will raise leaders up and God will sit leaders down. I'm just going to honor whoever the leader is that God's put there. So King David sneaks up real quiet. He's coming in. Stealth-like. He probably had like the Israeli version of Hey Dudes. Really soft, comfortable sandals. He sneaks up on him. And while King Saul's doing his business, King David cuts off the bottom of his robe and he sneaks out of there. King Saul finishes. He goes out with his men and they start marching on. And David walks out and he goes, King Saul, hey, you left something behind. And he turns around and he says, I could have taken you today, but I honor you as a leader. That you're the leader that God has put over our nation, over my life. And it says that King David, he bows and bends face down, prostrate before King Saul. And he calls him my Lord and my King. I don't know about you, but people that want to kill me, I don't call them my Lord and I don't call them my King. I got other adjectives that I like to call them. And King David says, I understand authority. And I understand that the Lord works in no other ways other than authority. And if I step outside of that, I'm going to feel a storm. And I want to live under cover. Perhaps even in your own life, God is not asking you to make some sort of a big change or big decree or something if you're going to do it outside of how he ordains authority. Let's check out Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Check this out. It says, every person is to be subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they have opposed, those who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. And so he honors it at another level. I don't know about you, but I think in America, we don't do a good job of honoring leadership in our lives. Probably a good example of that would be what happened in our country probably about 12 hours ago. It's called Saturday Night Live. Boy, do they love picking on the president. The one that God has put in charge, whether it is Biden, Trump, Obama, Bush, I mean, they will find every weakness and expose it and make it hilarious. Let's laugh. Let's laugh at how he stutters. Let's laugh at how he trips and falls. Let's laugh at how his mind is. Let's laugh about these ideas. And we mock. We love it. We're good at it. Why? Because we're Americans. We're Americans. We speak English and we speak sarcasm very fluently, don't we? And we're good. Let's mock them. And King David goes, ooh, not on my lips. That ain't me. That's gross. That is disgusting, and that is far from me. I will not take part. I will honor leaders, whether I agree with them or not, whether they just chucked a spear at me or not. I will move in a spirit of honor. Check out a great example here we see in the New Testament. This is Acts chapter 15. It says this. It says, certain people came down from Judea, from Antioch, where they were teaching the believers. And they taught this, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of the taught of Moses, then you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute. They're like, what the heck are we teaching? And a debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed among some of the other believers to go to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about this question. And then the church sent them on their way. So let's check this out. Here's one of the greatest leaders that we see in the early church, the Apostle Paul. And he has an assistant evangelist guy that's going with him named Barnabas. An issue arises in the church, and they're kind of like pushing back, and they're teaching some bad things. People are getting saved, and it's really good. Most churches, and I wouldn't say our churches, but a lot of churches are really good at critiquing people that are coming to the Lord and saying all the problems that they have wrong with them. And here, there's people that are coming to the Lord. Gentiles means that anybody that's not a Jew is coming to the Lord and like, well, we didn't teach them the right things, and you need to do this, this, and this, and you can't eat that, certain things, and it's all about behavior. And the Apostle Paul goes, okay, well, let's just go ask our elders. Let's go ask our elders about this one. So the Apostle Paul, even himself, is submitted underneath good leadership. Be like Fairmount Friends, is submitted underneath Indiana Yearly Meeting. We want to have leadership over our lives, and the church sends them that way. There is a big difference between, also, I'll tell you this, between leaving and being sent. Between leaving a church and being sent by a church to go and be a blessing. Verse 6, it says that the apostles and the elders, they met to consider this question. What it looks like here in our local church would be that we don't have necessarily a board of elders or counselors. We have what's called a ministry and oversight. We have M&O, and they provide vision and counsel and direction. They're hearing the heart of God. They're aware of maybe biblical issues. They understand the burden of the heart of the Lord. They understand what's going on in the community and what the church ought to do. And so the Apostle Paul and Barnabas are seeking counsel on this one. And then it goes into verse 7. After much discussion, then Peter, he gets up and he addresses the crowd. There's a bunch of studs in the room, okay? So we see Paul, Barnabas, Peter is there in a moment. James is about to speak. This is the council of the elders, and it is a blessing when there are this kind of leadership in our lives. Like perhaps the Methodist churches, they have what's called their conference. The Baptists, they have their convention. Non-denominational churches, they have networks. We call it a meeting. Ours is called an Indiana Yearly Meeting. It provides counsel, direction. It provides retreats and resources for us as a church. Also for Pastor Andrew and I as pastors. It's a place where we can go, as a Paul and a Barnabas can go, and we can seek counsel as well. Do y'all remember maybe seven or eight years ago when we were experiencing some good growth, and Indiana Yearly Meeting allowed Pat Byers to work for our church part-time? I don't know if y'all remember that time when Indiana Yearly Meeting really came alongside of us. They came alongside of us whenever they were very instrumental in us hiring Pastor Andrew. And I don't know about you, but are you glad that the Lord brought Pastor Andrew and Jessica and their two beautiful children into our church family? Yeah. And they are an added resource. And so point number one of us being in relationship with IYM is that they provide authority over us that we can go to and we can seek counsel. Pastor Andrew, come on up.
Appreciate you, Pastor Brack. Well, I get to cover points 2 and 3. We'll see if we get to point 3. So when we get with a group of people, such as maybe this gathering here, or we get with and we had like a meal, or we get together with family, or we get together with friends, we get with people. And it's common then for conversation to turn into a show and tell situation. Show and tell. So for adults, maybe this looks more like talking about work, talking about the struggles and the bosses that we don't like, right? Or maybe it gets into talking about the experiences, or why did this sports team do that, or why in the world did whoever make that decision? That was a terrible decision. What are they thinking? They made how much money, right? Or maybe we get into these outlandish fishing stories. We know those just continue to grow and grow, right? And so, but for kids, show and tell is just a different deal. For kids, and there's a book by Morgan Housel that I've begun to dig into. It's called Same as Ever. And in this book, they quote, and he says, Mark Twain said, kids provide the most interesting information. For they tell all they know, and then they stop. Adults tend to lose this skill. Or they learn a new skill, how to dazzle with nonsense. That's fun. I hope I don't do that today. So, show and tell. So I brought a few items with me, some show and tell. I'm going to try and put this up to be able to show to everybody. We'll do our best here. So I brought a couple things that I thought my kids, as Pastor Brock mentioned, I've got two of them. Got two beautiful, amazing, terribly frustrating, great kids that we love dearly. And so Kaylin, my daughter, first thing she would probably grab would probably be one of her unicorns. She has 10, at least, stuffed unicorns, and we haven't bought, like, any of them. They've all been gifts. People just know. They just attach and latch on to something about unicorns. We haven't. We've been helping teach her how to pray, and she's taken her own freedom to thank God for unicorns, to pray for the unicorns, and we're like, what do we do with this, right? What's the teaching point here? What's the growth point here? Well, we'll figure that out at some point. So my son, Warren, since he came out of the womb, if he sees a ball, he's like, I want it, ball. That was his first word, I'm pretty sure. If not, it was his very top few, ball, ball. If he sees it, if you've got it, he wants it. We got him this little, like, regular, size 3 basketball, and we took it with us when I was helping coach basketball this last season with Madison Grant, and he didn't want it. He wanted the one out on the court. He wanted the full-size one. So as soon as the game was over, he's out there carrying this thing around, dropping it, chasing after it. That's all he wanted, right? So he would bring a ball. My daughter, if I were to bring another one, these are one pair of her sunglasses. But to her, they are not sunglasses. These are her glasses. Recently, she has started coming out of her bedroom, and she says, I need my glasses. I need my glasses. Okay, Kaylin, we've got your glasses here. Warren, if we were to have another for him, if he hears a sound going down the road, he often assumes that it's a truck. But he doesn't say truck, as you would think. He says, if he sees a tractor, it's a very similar sound. So anytime you're going by and you want to drive by our house and rev the engine, Warren will respond. He will react. One more for each. Miss Kaylin, of course, is into artwork, and so this is one of her pieces of art. She often likes to present them to us. They go on the fridge. We hung up some twine in her room, so we get to clip those up there, and she must be the one to clip them, so I'm like holding her up while she's trying to put on clothespins. Anybody else have struggled with clothespins already? Plus, they're like this size, and then her fingers are like that size. So a lot of beautiful artwork is going on in our home. And then this is a fun one with Mr. Dubs. He can't get enough of tools. We've been doing a project in our living room that involves saws, measuring tapes, levels, anything. If we put it down in his reach, it's in his hands, if not in his mouth, right? And so we'll give him our extra one, right? He's just walking around holding this thing, like trying to turn it. If it does have a battery, we make sure there's not a bit in it. But he'll turn it on, he'll twist it, he'll make it whir. He just, and his go-to word with that is, whoa, whoa. It's just fun, the things that kids get attached to, right? So if I were to bring two show-and-tell items for myself, one would be this picture that hangs on our wall. I don't know if, Jessica, you noticed that I took it off our wall at home. but it's a picture of you and me, summer 2013. So this was 11 years ago. Jessica and I had started dating in January of 2013, and that summer we each took separate trips during the summertime to go to Africa. Jessica went to, I'm totally blanking in this moment, to Zambia, and so she's in Africa while I'm over in Berlin, Germany. And so we went to a wedding that summer together, took a picture at it, and then during our entire trip that we were away, we both agreed that we would each take notebooks with us and we would journal and we'd write letters to one another. How sweet, right? Oh, how thoughtful. I think it was my idea. But I do know this was from my journal. It says, even if we are thousands of miles apart, miles that don't mean a thing, because you are in my heart and I am in yours. That's right. Coming out of that, I've got one more here that I've actually been wearing today. It's a watch that my wife gave to me. It's a wooden watch made out of wood. And it's special because it was something that I don't know. I'm not very good at asking for things, and it was something that I guess I mentioned that she went out of her way to not only pick out one, but pick out one that I would probably enjoy wearing, and also it has a little inscription on the back, but that's for me. I'll not be sharing that one here. So, right, so we got this show-and-tell reality of life. And so as we look at the show-and-telling that took place as the Paul and Barnabas and the delegates went to their elders, and they went and sought counsel, and they went and they showed and they told what was taking place. And it even says as they're traveling to Jerusalem, they stop in a couple different cities, and they stop there and they stay there, and they tell about the signs and the wonders that God was causing to take place through them, not because they had just amazing, perfect words, but because they were able to speak. They talked about how people were converting from their pagan idolatry. They were believing that Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he rose again for us to know and follow. So as they arrive into Jerusalem, it says that they were welcomed and invited in by all. How amazing that they've got leadership that they get to submit to that is inviting in, that's encouraging, that's seeking, hey, we don't know why you're here yet, but we're just glad that you are here because we care for you, that it matters that it's you. So as they shared their stories about the people who had been healed and made whole, and they didn't say that just to gain and acquire and accomplish and achieve something, but because they wanted to share about what God was doing. And as they're speaking, the Pharisee sect, the people who had converted to Christianity but had been Pharisees, it says they began to again proclaim the requirement of circumcision according to the law of Moses. So the elders and apostles, they met together, and after much conversation, Peter stands and says, even we, God's chosen people, could not handle the responsibility placed upon us by the law of Moses. Why would we then take that which we could not carry and place it onto a new group who are desiring to follow the one true God? So do you ever enter into something new, not understanding that there might be expectations put upon you that you had no idea were about to be placed? Another way to say that, you ever said yes to something you found out you shouldn't have said yes to it? Or man, I did not know what I was signing up for. Maybe it's just looking at your life and I've been working towards something. Maybe I'm building a business or we're building a marriage or we're entering into a new stage in life with a newborn, right? Where just newness is about. And life's just different than you thought. Maybe it's different than maybe you even hoped. Maybe life is different. There's unrealized expectations that your spouse has for you that you don't know until you've already not met them. Or maybe you have unrealized assumptions for your spouse that they have no way to fulfill because we haven't communicated, we haven't showed or told them what it is that they need to do or not ask or to be mindful of. Maybe you've taken on roles in your community And so that looks like the local youth sports league or Main Street, or it looks like Lions Club or town council or school board or whatever it might look like, right? And you step onto a board and you are wanting to help make decisions and encourage growth, and you're wanting to encourage and support families in need. And you say yes, and you get into it, and you find out, man, this is a load. This is heavy. This is just maybe even too much. I don't know if I should have done this. And maybe when you say yes to that, it just requires you to move at a different pace, maybe even a pace that feels frantic. Maybe it causes you to have to figure out, how do I handle this? Is it a matter of juggling and balancing? Is it a matter of running? Is it a matter of just figuring out I don't get to sleep as much, right? What might it be? How do we manage? It's more than we believed. And does that begin to take a toll? The margin has decreased. The pace maybe is unsustainable. So what do we do when we begin to show and tell our stories, our realities, our newness and excitements, the victories and the troubles, the struggles, right? And we are just naming our realities. We're showing to somebody. We're telling that loved one. We're going to that church person. We're going to that pal or that buddy. And we're telling them what's truly taking place in our lives. And we're thinking about what could be or wishing for what was supposed to be. And instead of being welcomed in, instead of being invited in, instead of finding yourself encouraged and supported, maybe this has happened to you, instead you get the criticism and the complaints and the where were yous. Man, I'm struggling here and I need help, and all I'm getting is just hit after hit, wound after wound, struggle after struggle. I'm not enough. I don't have what it takes. I don't know what to do. Fortunately, this assembly, amid their critiques, understood the wisdom of listening. So even the Pharisees who were saying, hey, this isn't right, this isn't following the rules, they still understood the reality and need for authority. The reality and need for someone to help. It says in verse 12, Acts 15, verse 12, the whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. A verse that is helpful in life, Proverbs 11, it connects to this one. It says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. To seek counsel, to have people in our lives that we can go to. So for us, for our church, we can go to Pat, we can go to Jesse, we can go to Eric, we can go to Lauren. There's people that we can turn to. We can go to our M&O, we can go to, right, we can name off all of these different groups. We can go to you, perhaps. And sometimes when we look at seeking counsel, there's a quote again from the Same As Ever book. It says, things you do not understand create a mystique around the people who do. And so maybe sometimes there are things that we just don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle it. We don't even know what in the world it is. And so we can think of them and say, well, they're just different because of Jesus. They separated. They stand out. They are because of Jesus. And so maybe I should follow them and I should go to them for counsel and I should seek out their wisdom. And not because they are closer to God necessarily, but just because they're submitted to that way of life. Or sometimes we look at mystique and the wonder and the uncertainty and think, I could never be that. Or I don't know what to do with that. That's kind of weird, so I'm just not even going to address it. I'm just going to ignore it. I'm going to avoid it. So what I encourage each of us to do is to seek counsel of those who have come before. Maybe they've never been in your situation exactly, but there's a whole lot of life in this room and a whole lot of life that's been lived, and a whole lot of possibility of what could be gained together. As even as I look around this room, and there's a beautiful blend of people, especially as we look towards a little bit more towards the back of the room. There's a little more gray, a few more wrinkles. Those are amazing things. Hey, I didn't say in the back. They're back there like, what the heck? But just to look around and know that there's so much possibility that can be gathered if we would just be honest and open with one another. To say, hey, I don't really know what to do. Can I ask you some questions? Hey, can I come and just vent and speak, and then maybe some counsel can be given, right? I'm not saying some crazy new wild lessons. These are pretty straightforward things. And I think really what it can boil down to is a couple questions. Am I bending to what came before, or am I bending what came before around me? Another way to say that might be, to whom or to what am I kneeling down? Am I kneeling at the foot of the cross? Am I kneeling at the empty tomb? Am I kneeling on the hill as Jesus ascended? Another way to say it could be, am I succumbed to the way, or am I standing in the way? Attached to this, do I make my life match the Bible, or do I make the Bible match my life? Who is the authority? Am I the authority? I don't really want to be my own authority, even though I tell myself to be. Do I change my life because of what I learn and can gain from the scriptures and from teaching? Or do I say, well, that teaching doesn't line up with who I am and what I believe, and so they're just off? What do we do with that? So sometimes as we get real with our show and tell, we put ourselves in a position where maybe we can actually be authentically open, authentically impacted, authentically actually approach somebody and say, I don't know how to do this, but I'm willing to try. Can I trust you? Can I do something with this? Am I bare my scars? Can I show you my holes in my life? Can I actually name the tragedies that have taken place and the triumphs? Can I tell you about the aches and the wounds and the worries and the fears and the I don't really know what to do's? Can I be honest and can I be open? So turning back to Acts 15, verse 19. So after the testimonies and stories telling the realities of people have experienced, James, the Apostle James, stands and he speaks in verse 19. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. So if you're worried about the circumcision thing, you can breathe easy. It's all right. They already handled it. You don't got to do that. But even taking that to translate and to say, all right, so for my life, hopefully our church, hopefully the people in my life who are followers of Jesus, what they're trying to do is remove obstacles, to remove barriers to him, to not set up, well, you got to make sure to do these things and follow these steps and do the checklist, right? We got rules and regulations we got to step into. Those are helpful. Those are guideful. Those are things that we want to tap into as resources. But to know that ultimately what we're seeking to do is invite people to know Jesus and to allow him to then transform their lives. Not that we have to have all the answers, but I'm willing to sit in those tough places without having the answers. I'm willing to go and to speak, or I'm willing to go and just sit quietly. I'm willing to take that meal. I'm willing to say yes on a regular basis. Sometimes this can look like as you're driving down the road, having dropped your kids off at Grandma and Grandpa's house, as I did this last Friday. I'm driving down the road and just kind of coming back towards Fairmount, getting ready to get ready for work. And so I hop in the car and I'm like, all right, do I put on a podcast? Do I need to listen to the scripture right now? Do I need to just turn on some music? What do I need to do to max out my time, make a few phone calls to people? And I'm just sitting in the car getting ready to leave and I'm like, I don't want anything going in here right now. I just need to just be quiet as the road will let me to be. So I just start driving and I'm taking the different turns and as I'm driving, I notice there's a house up on the left and it's windy outright on Friday and there's a trash can on the road. So I'm like, all right, well, I got to make sure I stay over on the right side. Something in me, and if I had had audio, I don't think I would have been hearing this, said, stop and pick up the trash can. I thought, it's a trash can. And I'm trying to get to work. I got things to take care of. I got a message to prepare for, right? So I keep driving. I make sure I'm over on the right side, and I look at it as I go past. Stop and pick up the trash can. And so I'm going further down the road. I pass an electrical pole, pass another electrical pole, look in the mirror. I did it to myself. Stop and pick up the trash can. I put on the brake, checked the mirrors, put it in reverse. It wasn't a quarter mile, but it was a ways. So I'm over my shoulder, pull up next to it, check the house. Nobody's watching. Okay, I'm going to be weird. Get out of the car, pick up the trash can, go put it in the grass, get back, and speed off, making sure that nobody wanted to talk to me. What are you doing in my trash can? I don't know, sir. And maybe that's a silly story, maybe that's a silly expression, and I don't know, maybe it relates to you in some way. Maybe you feel like you're the trash can. You're not. Maybe you need to be the one to help pick up somebody who feels like they are and help them know that they're not. Maybe you're the one driving down the road and you drive past because you're on your way to work. Somebody will get it. I don't know. Maybe it kept a squirrel from eating a napkin. I don't know what God was doing through that, but I know that I was honest and open and willing, and I'm grateful for that trash can. Acts 15:31 and 32. At the end of the chapter, it says, the people read it. And what they read was, they had the council, James stood up and spoke, they then got together, they wrote a letter, they then sent that letter off to go with Paul and Barnabas, they sent another guy named Silas, they sent a couple other guys, Judas, and they sent it to the people who had these questions. How do we handle this circumcision, all of these rules and regulations? So the elders, they met, they talked, they wrote it down, and they sent it out. So it says the people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. And so the elders, they taught and they shared. They spoke highly and encouraged the people to rise to these levels of life. And there are better ways. There is one ultimate way. The path along the capital W way is unique and particular for each of us. It also leads to the foretold and forthcoming future of the kingdom that is ever near. So, using the word council and looking at what just took place over the last few minutes of Acts 15, there was counsel needed and counsel sought, counsel given and counsel communicated, counsel delivered, counsel declared, counsel celebrated, and then counsel lived. And so for each of us, do we seek guidance? Are we open to that? Can we submit and humble ourselves and say, hey, I have a need. I've got a newborn. I don't know what in the world I'm doing with it. Is there a book? There's a lot of paper out there, but I don't know if there's really a book. Right? Maybe it looks like we're new to being a teenager today. Or maybe it looks like we've just had a grandkid. How in the world do I do that? We just shifted jobs. We just moved here. We haven't been here in a while. How do we transition back in? I don't know how to handle. There's too much in life that I've said yes to. I'm trying to start a business, and I'm trying to run an event, and I'm trying to do these things, and my spouse is on the road, and I don't know how to handle it, right? So maybe it looks like turning this into our actionable step for us today in our show and tell moving forward. So I encourage you to live life on purpose. Go ahead and throw that slide up there, Lucas. There's three thoughts that I had leading into our practicality, the 3 to 5. Usually the time period of 3 to 5 p.m. every day, I'm out at the junior-senior high track helping coach junior high sprints. It's a whole lot of fun, a whole lot of oddness because it's junior high and there's just a whole lot of awkwardness that happens in that age and during those times. But if we look at outside of time and we say, maybe for you, it's who is that person that needs encouragement in your life? And even just in this moment, who was that person? Somebody probably came to mind. If not, I got another question for you. But who is that person? What are 3 to 5 words you can speak to them? And maybe right after we conclude here, you walk across the room and you do it right then. What are 3 to 5 words that you could speak that just makes a difference? And maybe it carries them out of here with a different perspective. Who knows what could be? But to hold back words when we could speak them would be a tragedy. Second question, who is that person that you can honestly ask for help? Who is that person? First person that comes to mind. They may not be the best person, but it is a person. Who can you go to? Who is that? If you don't have an answer to that, then let's talk. Let's figure that out. Who might those people be? What are 3 to 5 words you can use to ask for help from that person? And then finally, who is that family that needs an anonymous gift? Maybe that gift looks like mowing their lawn. Maybe it looks like an anonymous donation. Maybe it looks like just offering to watch their kids so they can go out on a date night. Maybe it looks like, right, there's creativity and possibility to flow. And if your thoughts even become with that last question, I could use that anonymous gift. I could benefit from someone doing that thing for me. I refer you to question number two. Who can you ask? Don't wait. Don't assume that somebody's just going to see it and need it. Speak it. Make it real. Make it known. So just as a church, we submit to Indiana Yearly Meeting. As pastors, Pastor Brock, Pastor myself, Pastor Scott, we submit underneath M&O and to the church. Encourage each of you, who is it that we can submit to? Not because we want to become submissive, but that we are able to then ask and seek counsel, get guidance, join in this thing, this life together. We get to be the witness to the ends of the earth. And we're going to do it here in Fairmount and Summitville and beyond. If you would, let's end with prayer, if you'll stand with me. Church family, as we get out of here today, just encourage you. Again, go to somebody. Don't hold back. Three to five. Jesus, as we move out of this space and out of this building, as we move into the beauty of the day and the rest of this weekend, God, that we want to submit to you, we want to come under your authority. God, that we would follow your direction, that we would not just be sitting back and idle, even if our thoughts are wild and all over the place. God, that we're able to even lay some things down, that we're able to be honest and open, to show and tell to you what our actual needs are and to believe that you can handle it. God, that we want to follow your guidance, that we want to believe you, and it's not that we need to measure up. We want to elevate our game, but God, that we want to come before you and God, that you would meet us where we are, that we would believe that you actually were willing, desire to do that, that you love us, that you actually care. God, that you would put something in us where our heartbeat picks up here, and that we would speak those 3 to 5 things to somebody else. Who might those people be, God, that we would do something to respond to you? We're grateful, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Grateful you were with us today. Be sure to subscribe and rate us so other people can know about the podcast. Join us on a Sunday morning in Fairmount or find our live stream on YouTube, our website, fairmountfriends.church, or our church app on Tithely. See you soon.